From the studios of WFPL in Louisville, this is a news special on the race for Kentucky Secretary of State. I'm Rick Howlett. Joining us is the Republican nominee for that office. Bill Johnson is a businessman and teacher who lives in Todd County, Kentucky. He joins us by phone. Mr. Johnson, welcome to the program.
Well, hi, it's good to be with you.
Thanks for joining us. Mr. Johnson faces Democrat Allison Lundergan Grimes in the November election. She'll be joining us on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We want to thank those of you listening to our Kentucky Public Radio partner station, WEKU in Richmond. Mr. Johnson will be questioned today by WFPL political editor Philip Bailey, and we, of course, welcome your input. Call us at 1-877-814-TALK. That's 877-814-8255. You can email us at news@WFPL.org. Send us a tweet at WFPL News, and you can also reach us via Facebook. Now here's WFPL political editor Philip Bailey.
Thanks, Rick. Hey, Mr. Johnson, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Pretty good, sir. Let's jump right into things and some of the issues that surround the Secretary of State race. You have taken a position against automatic restoration of voting rights for convicted felons in Kentucky. Why does the current system of the governor granting a pardon to restore that franchise work better in your view?
Well, I think with the governor making that decision, we can hold the governor accountable for the decisions that he or she makes. And the governor can take a look at the person, what their crime was, what they've done since, and make a better, more informed decision. I think when you have an automatic process, you're going to restore voting rights and the right to run for office for multiple felon, repeating felons, very, very violent criminals and others who, frankly, I just don't think will have ever restored or paid their debt to the victim's family. So I think the governor is in the best position to make that determination.
In a previous interview, I believe with KET, you said felons, quote, can't be trusted and that violent criminals can't repay their debt to society. But if so, why should the governor be allowed to pardon those individuals?
Well, I don't remember saying they can't be trusted, but I have said that I don't think in many cases they'll ever repay their debts to society. And I'm absolutely positive that in many cases they can't repay their debt to the victim's family who has, you know, lost a loved one or who somebody's been violently raped. I mean, these are crimes that are very terrible. And so I think, but in some cases, you know, $1,000 property damage can be a felony in the state of Kentucky. Does that rise to the level of never being able to vote again in this country? I don't think so in many cases. So I think the governor is in a good position to look at these on an individual-by-individual case and make a decision.
But why should people who cannot vote, I guess, be released from prison or granted probation in the first place?
Well, perhaps we're not tough enough on crime. I can't answer to every sentence that's passed down, but our Constitution is clear in terms of, you know, felons not being able to vote unless they've been partially pardoned by the governor. And I just think that's a process that makes sense to me to allow the governor to make that decision.
The University of Kentucky found that in reference to African Americans, Kentucky has one of the highest disenfranchisement rates in the country. And some groups that obviously support automatic restoration say that there are report that 1 in 4 African Americans are barred from the franchise. Are you concerned at all about the racial implications of the current policy?
Well, I don't want to make this about race or about gender or anything else other than a person committed a very violent crime. And when you murder somebody, you're a repeat felon, you've done something like a violent rape, those are just serious crimes. And frankly, I don't think victims' families ever recover from those situations. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be sympathetic to somebody who's committed a very violent, violent crime and in any way justify them having the right to vote again. So, you know, people know the penalties for doing these crimes. I would recommend they don't do the crime. And for people that do commit crimes, we need to be tough on crime. But again, I think there are situations. We've expanded what a felony is to be very broad today. And like I said, $1,000 property damage or other things, there's a good justification to restore those rights.
Switching gears here, I know that on other positions, you've taken a position on voter identification. I'd like to ask you a few questions about that. You've come out in support of a state law to require voters to present photo identification, such as a driver's license or a passport. How do you respond to criticism that there aren't enough examples of any sort of fraud to justify a change in the law?
Well, I don't know who said there's no examples of voter fraud. I think if you just do a quick search on the Internet of Kentucky and voter fraud, you'll see there's been numerous cases around the state over the past 3 years. One that comes to mind is somebody pretended to be an election worker and went in and asked who had voted and who hadn't. There's been cases of vote hauling. There's been cases of vote buying. There's been cases where people have used those precinct cards that get mailed out, say, in Fayette County, and they'll have a whole pocket full of them, and they'll go place to place and vote. So there's numerous examples. There's groups in the past like ACORN, there's groups today and others who focus on voter fraud. And I would simply say that a picture ID is a common sense security measure that is required today when you fly commercially, required when you cash a check. You can't even buy a pack of cigarettes without a picture ID, and my son had to have a picture ID to take the ACT. So if we think security is important in all of those areas, then why aren't we concerned about it with voting? I just think it's a common sense security measure. For those that don't have picture IDs, of course, we need to find a way to make sure they're able to get them. But most people have them today.
How much would requiring a photo ID cost the Commonwealth?
Well, today the infrastructure is in place to provide driver's licenses or non-driver's license IDs. So there's no cost to put people in place. There's no cost to put equipment in place. The only cost would be for the piece of plastic in the picture that's taken. So it's very, very inexpensive. And I've even said that, you know, for those that need a picture ID, I'll pay for it out of my Secretary of State's salary because it's just a piece of plastic. You know, the infrastructure is there. So we need to find a way for those who need a picture ID to be able to vote to get one, and I'll make sure that happens.
Testifying before Kentucky lawmakers, Jenny Bowser, a senior fellow with the National Conference of State Legislators, addressed an interim joint task force on elections in Frankfurt recently. And I know that this has certainly been something that you and your opponent disagree on, but she was pointing out that there are currently 14 states that require a photo ID at polling places and 16 states that require a non-photo ID. You said that it's a common sense solution, but there are many who feel that a photo identification would restrict those who, you know, particularly those who've been voting for a number of decades. Should the voter identification be free that they obtain, or would that have to be a fee that they would pay? How would that system work here in Kentucky, in your view?
No, I think it needs to be provided to them. And like I said, I will use, if there's an expense to it and it's a piece of plastic, I will cover it out of my Secretary of State's salary. People who need an ID to vote will not have to pay for an ID. But I do think it's an important security measure. Most people are going to have the IDs. Tennessee just passed the picture ID at the polls legislation. And, you know, it's just a common sense security measure. And, you know, those that don't have a picture ID can't get access to government benefits. They can't cash checks. You really can't even hold down a job without a picture ID. So, you know, picture IDs are pretty widely available today, and it's just common sense.
When Ms. Bowser testified before state lawmakers, she said one reason that might explain why voter identification laws have multiplied throughout the country is that about 80% of Americans think voter fraud is prevalent. However, she said, she told state lawmakers here in Kentucky that the evidence for that of people impersonating voters is very scant. How do you respond to that?
Well, I would say there's a lot of evidence out there. There's numerous press reports. You can go out and look for them. I just mentioned a couple of them. And frankly, in many cases, how do you even know voter fraud has taken place? I mean, the goal of somebody committing fraud is to make sure it's not detected, that we don't know about it. So in many ways, we won't even know how much voter fraud is taking place because it's hard to measure because by the nature of the crime, you don't want people to know what's happening. But there are many, many documented examples, not only here in Kentucky, but around the country. There's certainly documented examples of groups like ACORN in the past who were intent on various forms of voter fraud. So it's, again, you know, there's plenty of evidence out there, and if we think a picture ID is important enough for other aspects of our life, I don't hear them pushing back against showing a picture ID to fly commercially, for example. Well, why not? Because there's a security requirement there. You know, we have to show it to cash a check to buy cigarettes. So if we need it for all these other things, I would simply ask, why are we fighting to show it for, you know, when you vote? It just seems to make sense.
I know Ms. Bowser did say that those measures have cost other states from about $100,000 to $10 million. State Senator Damon Thayer, a Republican from Georgetown, said he favors requiring a photo ID to vote, but he isn't sure whether the state should incur the cost. I know I asked you about the cost earlier, but in your view, is the cost secondary to this matter of what you feel is security measures and common sense solutions to people voting at the polls?
Well, I don't think the cost would be that much. I think you look at, I believe it's states like Kansas and others, it's been less than $100,000 of cost. And again, if you're looking at cost, the cost is a piece of plastic and a picture. The infrastructure is already in place across the entire state. So, I did procurement. I managed over $1 billion of procurement. I know that a piece of plastic in a picture, even if there's tens of thousands of people without photo IDs, isn't going to cost very much money. So the money is just a way to try to deflect the issue. This isn't going to cost very much. It's a piece of plastic in a picture, and it's just something we need to do. And I've said again, I will pay for the piece of plastic in a picture out of my salary if I have to.
1-877-814-TALK. 877-814-8255 is the number to call if you have a question or comment for Bill Johnson, the Republican nominee for Kentucky's Secretary of State. We are going to take a break and be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to a news special with Republican candidate for Secretary of State Bill Johnson from the studios of WFPL in Louisville.
Support for WFPL comes from Niederlander Entertainment, presenting G Love and Special Sauce with the Apache Relay in concert at Headliners this Thursday at 8:30. Doors open at 7:30. Tickets at 800-745-3000, Ticketmaster.com, and the door of Headliners. From the Belknap Fall Festival this Friday from 6 to 9 and Saturday from 11 until 9 in the Douglas Loop of the Highlands, featuring over 100 booths of juried artists, food, family fun, and live entertainment. From Buckhead Mountain Grill on Bardstown Road, featuring 14 nights of Oktoberfest through the 17th, 14 straight pint nights featuring all 14 of their newly tapped Oktoberfest beers, including Spaten, Polliner, Schlafly BBC, and more, starting every day at 4 p.m., Buckhead Mountain Grill on Bardstown Road at Gardner Lane.
And good afternoon. You're listening to a WFPL News special. Coming up on Q, is online privacy overrated? We'll have a Q debate. That's at 2 this afternoon on 89.3 WFPL.
From the studios of WFPL in Louisville, this is a news special on the race for Kentucky Secretary of State. I'm Rick Howlett, and we're talking today with the Republican nominee for that office, Bill Johnson. And I'll turn it back over now to WFPL political editor Philip Bailey.
Mr. Johnson, I know this is an issue that I haven't really heard addressed in the Secretary of State's race thus far, but should Kentucky allow early voting without providing an excuse?
Well, I don't support early voting other than absentee ballots that are already in place. I want to protect the sanctity of Election Day. I think on Election Day we go down and we vote. If you're not able to be there on Election Day, then the absentee ballot process is available. I think early voting will add to the potential for fraud. It'll certainly add to the cost and the complexity of running elections. So I just don't think that's necessary.
But wouldn't that encourage more engagement in the process and the electoral process and encourage civics overall?
Well, if you're not around, you can still, there's a process in place called absentee ballots. So I'm not sure what that really adds to what's already in place. If you're not available on Election Day, you have an absentee ballot. So I don't know why we would want to incur the cost to put that in place. And I think it does just add more opportunity for fraud.
I know in previous interviews you said that you had, when asked about which previous secretaries of state you admired, and you mentioned Secretary of State Trey Grayson. Back in 2008, Secretary Grayson supported an initiative for early voting when the Kentucky House of Representatives voted to approve that measure. It failed in the state Senate. Do you feel that, I guess, Secretary of State Grayson was wrongheaded in that aspect? Is that one issue maybe you disagree with him on?
Well, I don't know the specifics of the legislation, but certainly I'm not in favor of early voting. So if he was, then we certainly disagree on that issue. But I do think Secretary Grayson did a good job. He took, I think, about $500,000 out of cost of his office, reduced his budget by about $500,000. He certainly addressed voter fraud and ACORN and others. So, you know, I think, and he did an awful lot on civics education. So I think he did do a good job. And we're going to differ on a few issues. You know, for example, picture ID at the polls is one that I'm pushing very hard that wasn't pushed under his administration. So, you know, there are some differences, but still I think he did an outstanding job.
How do you feel about people being allowed to register to vote on Election Day when they actually go to the polls if they weren't previously registered?
Well, today you can't do that in Kentucky, as you know. But I think what we need to do is put technology in place that allows us to probably not do same-day voter registration. I don't think that's a good idea, but to register closer to the election than what we're able to do today through the use of technology. The concern with same-day voter registration is making sure or having the opportunity to check whether somebody is indeed eligible. You know, if you register on the same day, we don't have the capability in place today to really do that. So we could have a lot of ineligible people register that day, vote, the election's over, and then find out about it after the fact. So I'm not in favor of same-day voter registration, but I do think we need to use technology to shorten the timeline in terms of how early you have to register before the voting process.
You're listening to a news special from the studios of WFPL in Louisville. We're talking with Bill Johnson, the Republican nominee for Kentucky's Secretary of State. If you have a question or comment for Mr. Johnson, call us at 877-814-TALK. That's 877-814-8255. You can also email us at news@wfpl.org. Send us a tweet at WFPL News, and you can reach us via Facebook. We do have a call. Let's go to Bill in Louisville. Bill, you're on with Mr. Johnson.
Hey, thanks. Bill Johnson, I wanted to thank you for focusing on security as far as the voting issue is concerned. For anyone to suggest that Kentucky hasn't had a problem with voter fraud, they're missing the point here. We have, and we need tighter security. One other thing I wanted to ask you about as far as the role of the Secretary of State. On a AET program, the Democrat candidate said that her top priority as Secretary of State would be to create jobs. And that sounded a bit strange to me. Can you comment on that?
Well, I think it's a bit of a stretch for any Secretary of State candidate to claim that they can create jobs. She had indicated she wanted to travel around the country recruiting companies to come to Kentucky. Now, I think we do need jobs in Kentucky. There's no doubt about it. But what I can do as Secretary of State is focus on making it easier for a company to set up shop. You know, the incorporation process, for example, we can make that easier. We can make an online portal to allow companies to quickly schedule inspections or apply for licenses or permits. I think we can get the whole process of starting up a business into an online portal to make it easy for companies who want to start a business in Kentucky to start a business in Kentucky. But I think for myself or anybody to claim we can go flying around the country recruiting companies, I think is a bit of a stretch. We got to focus on what the duties of the secretary is, and clearly the secretary has a responsibility when it comes to business filings, business incorporations, and the one-stop shop initiative, which is really to tie all of the government agencies together that are a part of starting up and running a business. So those are the things I can focus on. As somebody who has worked in information technology for many years, and process improvement for many years in the private sector, I have the skill set needed to really make that an efficient process so businesses can get the door open and get those jobs created once they're here.
All right, Bill, thanks for your call.
Mr. Johnson, I know that one of the issues that you and Democrat Allison Lundgren Grimes disagree about is the issue of homeless voters. Do you stand by your position? It was previously on your website. Stand by your position of no address, no vote?
Well, that's correct. Today our Constitution is very clear. If you look at Article 145, it says you have to be a resident of our state and you can only vote in the precinct in which you live. Well, to determine residency and to determine precinct, you have to have some form of address. Now, I have also said I support the definition of address that's in the Constitution. It says it simply needs to be someplace you return to, you intend to remain, and that you can be contacted. And I would also add that it needs to be someplace legal to live. There are certain ordinances and local laws that say where a person can and cannot live. But you have to have some form of address, and you have to meet those residency and precinct requirements. Today, our current Secretary of State and the current Board of Elections and my opponent basically have a position of no address, no problem. We will simply arbitrarily say they live at the courthouse and give them that address. Well, that's the one place we know they don't live. And when you look at Boone County, for example, that have been very active in this regard as well, the Boone County officials are now saying the state law trumps what our current secretary and my opponent in the Board of Elections is saying around just arbitrarily picking an address for somebody. I think that's very dangerous. I think we can only – your right to vote only extends to the precinct in which you live, and we must know where that is.
But if former Secretary of State Trey Grayson did such a good job in your view, why did you want current Secretary of State Elaine Walker to resign for implementing – the same homeless voting, I guess, policy that had been in effect under Secretary Grayson for 8 years?
Well, our current Secretary of State really pushed this issue out with this memo by saying that there's a growing problem and then turned around and said there really isn't a problem here at all. So it's very suspect why this whole issue suddenly came up and now suddenly why they say there's not a big problem and why are we even talking about it. You know, like I said before, there are areas where I disagree with Secretary Grayson, but in general I think he did a good job. But I have some different views, particularly when it comes to the security of our elections. I do strongly believe that regardless of whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or liberal or conservative, we have to believe in the election process because if we don't believe in the election process, we don't believe that a person was elected by the will of the people, then there's going to be anarchy. I may not disagree with who gets elected, but if I know the process has been honest and it's been fair, then I will accept it. And I think that's very, very important.
Do you think that Secretary Grayson should have resigned as a result of implementing that policy, though?
Well, I don't know if he implemented or if it was implemented even before he came into office, but I think it's a bad policy. And, you know, one of the reasons I feel strongly about our current Secretary of State is because, like I said, it was brought to everyone's attention. It was pushed out there and then turned around and said there's no big issue here, so why were they pushing it in the first place? I think it's an open-door policy to election fraud. And so to make it so visible and then turn around and say there's no problem, it just opened up a lot of questions for me.
We're talking with Bill Johnson, the Republican nominee for Kentucky Secretary of State. And you can call us or email us with a question or comment for Mr. Johnson, 1-877-814-TALK, 877-814-8255. You can email us, news@WFPL.org. Also send us a tweet at WFPL News, and we're also on Facebook. We have a few callers standing by here. Let's go to Dax in Louisville, who has a question regarding photo ID. Hi, Dax, you're on the air with Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, what I want to say to him is back on the picture ID situation.
Yes.
The problem I'm having with that is I lost my identity, and I've lost 3 years of my life. It is too easy for people to look at your picture ID and take all the information. How about we go toward a process of like a fingerprint system or something where nobody can easily take away your identity? And that's my comment.
All right, Dax, thank you.
Well, I think we share the same concern. It's just making sure the person who's voting is who they say they are. Going to some type of biometric would certainly be another step beyond just a picture ID. And I think if we had that that technology in place, that would be good. But the problem with biometrics is now we have to give up something about ourselves. We have to have fingerprints on record or irises on record, and that presents all kinds of civil liberty concerns also. So there's got to be a balance. You know, I don't know if picture ID and a fingerprint and an iris would be going too far probably, but you know, the concern that we have to address, and I think a picture ID is certainly a good start at it, is to make sure that those that show up to vote are who they say they are. And it's not going to be perfect, but I think it's better than what we have today, where you don't have to show any ID at all, and somebody can just claim to know you.
Returning to this issue of homeless voters, which I think has certainly been the dividing issue, at least the first issue that came up during this campaign, the public protection clause forbids denying homeless people the right to vote. In fact, in a 1992 case, Coalition for the Homeless versus Jensen, a requirement that people live in a traditional dwelling in order to vote placed an unconstitutional constraint on the voting rights of homeless people. Are you concerned at all that if you implemented a policy of no address, no vote, that could result in a federal lawsuit against the state?
Well, no, but if you look at that, they uphold that an address is required, right? It says you have to have an address. It says unconventional, but I've said it has to be someplace you return to, remain, and you can be contacted. And it has to be someplace that the local community says is a legal place to live. So it doesn't have to be the traditional home. It could be a homeless shelter. It could be a tent in a campground. There's a number of different places where people can live. But they do uphold that you need some form of address. And also under Equal Protection Acts, they've upheld the rights, the right of the state to determine residency through an address. So an address is still required of some type.
So let me ask Mr. Johnson, you're saying that in your view, it's okay for a homeless person to register to vote if they designate a shelter, a park, or a street corner as their residence?
Well, a shelter, if that's where they live. A park, it depends on the local community. Does the community say a park is an acceptable place to live? So there's community ordinances and community laws related to where people can live. But, homeless shelters are generally acceptable if that's where the person lives.
Well, and the reason I ask that is that there's another case, Fisher versus Stout, from Alaska in 1987, that ruled that when registering to vote, homeless people may designate a shelter, a park, or a street corner as residence, that there are federal cases that seem to justify what the Secretary of State's office and the Board of Elections told the Boone County clerk, that homeless people can, in fact, use those areas as a place or as an address, as long as they have are contacted by the clerk's office. Are you saying that that's where you disagree with, when once it goes out of an actual physical residence, outside of a shelter, that a park or street is not sufficient in your mind?
No. Nobody's ever disagreed with that. And this is where the whole debate gets twisted. The secretary is saying when there's no address, nothing. It's just place to place. No shelter, no park, no street corner, nothing. except place to place in the card, they will register that voter with the address of the courthouse. They will arbitrarily pick an address. So it's not the address provided by the voter. It's one that they picked on behalf of the voter just with place to place in the voting card. Now, you can imagine the opportunity for fraud. Anyone, anywhere in the country could send in a voter card to Kentucky, put place to place, and you know what? They'll get registered to vote at the courthouse, the county they sent that card to. Now, that's just crazy. That's going way beyond anything that's supported in any law anywhere.
A couple of minutes left in the program. Let's see if we can get another call in here. Let's go to Michelle in Shelbyville. Hello, Michelle.
Hello.
You have a question for Mr. Johnson.
Yes, I do. I'm very interested to know how you propose to streamline the incorporation process to make it easier for companies to come to Kentucky, because Kentucky has one of the easiest incorporation processes that I've dealt with. And I want to know how you propose that it's going to make it easier to induce companies to come here.
Well, I want to get, and I agree, I think the incorporation process is fairly easy today, but what's not easy today is all the other steps necessary. Once you're incorporated, there's permits that you need, there's inspections that you need, there's local requirements that you have to comply with. I think by putting the incorporation process and all the other steps needed to open the doors on a business in one online portal. So, for example, I would envision that you would go onto this portal, you'd select the type of business you want to open, you'd select the location you want to open it, maybe a couple of other questions like the address, and up would pop a checklist that includes all the state requirements and all the local requirements, and as you check each block of that checklist, you can actually take care of the necessary filings or applications or request the inspections that you need to be done. Today, you enter your address, for example, multiple times as you go through this process. I just want to put it all online, make it easy from start to finish to open the doors on a business. I think that's what we can get done as Secretary of State.
All right. Michelle in Shelbyville, thanks for your call. Philip, got about a minute or so left.
Mr. Johnson, let me ask as a final question. I noticed in some of your campaign messages, whether via Facebook or to supporters directly or via Twitter, you've compared yourself to your Democratic opponent on a number of areas, talking about felon voting rights, the requiring an address to vote, picture ID, but you also mentioned protecting the unborn and talk about abortion rights. What, in your view, does the Secretary of State's office in Kentucky have to do with abortion?
Well, I think every elected official, regardless of the level, regardless of the branch, needs to be focused on protecting life. If a person won't protect our right to life, I don't trust they'll protect any of our rights. So I think the fundamental responsibility of all elected officials is to protect our unalienable, God-given rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That needs to be job one. And everybody who's elected needs to focus on that. And there's a lot of things that I can do, such as bring awareness to the issue. We have 4,000 abortions a year in Kentucky, 4,000 a year in Kentucky. So we need to elevate the discussion, bring awareness to this issue, and protect life. And so I think it's extremely important that somebody who's elected is willing to stand up and protect the unborn.
We're going to have to let that be the final word. Bill Johnson, Republican candidate for Secretary of State of Kentucky, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
All right. This news special was produced by the WFPL News staff. Our production team is led by Laura Ellis and Brad Yost. For Philip Bailey, I'm Rick Hallett. Thanks for listening.